Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we work to empower the pastors, the leadership, and the members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. I'm your host, Gary Fear, and I'm proud to serve you today. And today's topic, where is the disconnect? Now, just as a disclaimer before we get started, I'd like to let you know that in keeping up with last week's episode, episode number two, being concerned with the family, today we are concerned with the family. My wife is out doing some things, and I have both of my sons, my oldest and my youngest son today. So if you hear some noise in the background, I do apologize. We do have a couple of the rapscallions with me, and they're running around. We record this at the church, and I'm locked in the office, and they're running around the church. But if you hear them in the background, well, we're just keeping the family intact. Today's topic, episode three, where is the disconnect? In an effort to reach the people with the message of Jesus Christ, we can sometimes get discouraged at only seeing the same faces every week. Has any other pastor preached a message to empty pews? We like to see those faces, but we also want to know that we are doing more for the Lord. For years, I have figured that God will add to our local assembly such as should be there. And I do believe that he will. But I may have neglected the intelligence that he has given me. God can do it all without us. I understand that to be true, and he can. But he chooses to use us. Let's look at it in a different light. Let's look at it from a different angle. He can make our house payment for us. Wouldn't that be right? Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, he can make our house payment for us without us going to work. But he gives us the strength and the skill to work, and we make the payment. Think about how many things in life he could do for us that we wouldn't have to do, but he uses us to accomplish the goal. He can add to our church. He can bring people in without our help, without us doing a thing. But he has put us in that place to function with intelligence and wisdom. He is using us to do so. He could have spoke directly to Balaam himself, but he used the donkey to speak to Balaam. Consider that God can do a lot of things on his own. But at the end of it, God uses people. And I'm grateful that he sees us and that he decides to use us and he wants to use us. And so maybe it is a little bit our responsibility. I'm not just trying to add numbers and believe me, if you're not called to grow and all these, I understand it, but I do want to see people come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. The Bible says he that wins souls is wise. So why aren't we seeing people come to know him? I understand the spiritual darkness, and I understand a lot of things, but I don't want to use them as excuses. I want to give everybody an opportunity to come to know the Lord. My mentor and the pastor of the local assembly that I attend and pastor, he told me that he started this church with an expectation and a hope to give everybody that desires an opportunity to serve the Lord. And that's what I want to do also. I want to give them an opportunity to serve the Lord. And so that means I want to have an open door. I want to have a place where they can come to. I want to have a place where they'd desire to come to. I want to have a place that they'll look at and say, God is there. I want to go see what's going on. I have three questions for us to ask ourselves. As we're looking around and seeing the empty pews and thinking to ourselves, why is it so empty? Number one, are we as a church getting to talk to any new people? I guess we can ask the question here, is anybody new visiting our church? But I wanted to go beyond that. Is the people in the church, are those in the church, are they seeing new people? Are they able to minister to new people? Or is it just week after week, the only ones that are fed by your local assembly? And I'd like to call it a church, but at the same time, let me throw out some definitions. We're still new to each other. This is only episode 3. The church, in my opinion, is that body of Christ. In my definition, and as I share through these, and now you might say, no, I have a different definition of the church. And you're more than welcome to email me those definitions, to comment. You're more than welcome to visit us on Facebook or online and give us your definition of the church. That'd be great to have some interaction. But as far as me recording this, when I refer to the church is international. The church is huge. It's all those that walk with God in truth. When I talk of the local assembly, I'm not trying to fragment the church, but truth is we have our local area where we gather together. We're not the complete church. You could call it a church, though. And so sometimes, and I do kind of use them interchangeably, but are the people, is anybody outside of your church being ministered to or being affected or being touched by anybody in your church? Again, I ask the question this way and trying to explain it further, but are we as a church getting to talk to any new people? Getting your name in front of people. And I hate to use it this way in advertise or in the church world and in our walk with God, but are you using any kind of advertisement? If people are not even visiting, there may be something wrong with your outreach. If they're not even visiting your church, you need to look around you at what your outreach is. And I use the term advertisement, and I'm kind of scared to use that term because that almost seems a little bit anti-religious. It almost seems a little bit, I'd say taboo in the church world. But I don't know any other way to put it. Are you telling people not only about your church, about God? Listen, a one-time meeting, a one-time telling people about God isn't necessarily going to reach them for a long-term life-changing experience. They need fellowship with the local assembly. They need to get in touch with the church. Is there anybody visiting your church? If there's nobody visiting your church, then there's something wrong with your outreach. In the business world, I'd say there's something wrong with your advertisement. Nobody walks in your store, they don't know about it. I remember one time we were walking, we live right on a main, or I'm sorry, we don't live. We go to church. We have our church right on a main thoroughfare in the city. And the city has about 150 to 200,000 in it. And we're walking down the street. We're not even a half mile down the street. We run into a guy. We had to track to him, and he asks us, well, where do you all go to church? And we said, well, right there at up the street. And we pointed to the church, and he turned around and looked, and he saw the building. He says, I walk by here every day, and I didn't know that was a church. There's something wrong. Now, I'll be honest with you. We have signs all over the church. At that time, we had red door with white crosses on it, red doors with white crosses on it. For him not to know there was a church, he just never paid attention, to be quite honest. And there's not much we can do with that. But he says that, I didn't even know that was a church. So if people aren't even visiting, there might be something wrong with your outreach. What is your outreach ministry? For us in my local assembly, we have a food pantry. We have a street ministry. We do other things from time to time, but those are the two consistent things that we do every week to try to draw people in, or every couple weeks to try to draw people in. What is your ministry? If your church doesn't have an outreach ministry, then why are you still there? Now, maybe you're equipping one another, stabilizing one another, and that's fine. But God has called us out to reach the lost. So maybe your calling and your direction is in the food pantry. Maybe it's not street window singing. Maybe it's knocking on doors and talking to people in their homes or whatever. Maybe it's nursing home ministries. I don't know what it might be, but you need to reach out. Furthermore, I've got to say this. Welcome to 2017. If your church doesn't have a website or an internet presence, And I know there are a lot of loonies on the internet. I know there are. But if it doesn't have some sort of a web presence, it might just be a little bit, just a little bit, irresponsible. Now, if God's told you not to, I'm not taking the place of God. You be faithful to God's calling. But for the most part, and for the most of us, that is where we meet people. That is where so much exchange and so much interaction is going on. And so you really need a web presence. And if you don't have one, for the most part, and with a caveat that if God is spoken to your heart and you know you're not supposed to, then it's not irresponsible to listen to God. But if you don't have that directive from God, then listen, it's not very expensive and it's not very difficult to put in. Web presence doesn't have to be much. Our church, my local assembly, has a website. We actually have it hosted and we actually pay for it. I build it myself off of, I'm not a techno geek at all, and I'm definitely not into design, but we build it off of a program that we get, and we just launch it onto a website that we rent, an area that we rent. It's easy to do, but I can understand it does take a lot of time, and it took me a lot of time. And truth is, I look at our website and I realize that I have made the number two mistake of 2017. I don't update our website near enough. So if you're going to have a website, keep it up to date. Keep it up to date. And if you can't do it, find somebody that can. Now, it's very expensive for a website if you pay somebody to design it and all these things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just setting it up yourself. And maybe you don't want to go the whole, I have an entire website. And I don't understand the difference. And I'm just learning this new thing. I got on one of the blog sites and I got on WordPress.com and for the Small Mentor podcast. And I found out that I can put in a website through WordPress, and quite honestly, it only took me a matter of about an hour and a half, and it was under $50 a year for this. So what you see is very inexpensive. If you go to smallchurchmentor.com and you look around, that is a very easy and very inexpensive way for your church to have a web presence. You could put the church hours on there. You could put all sorts of things, who the church is. And that is where people are looking for churches these days. You remember those things called the phone book? They're a thing of the past. Now what we have is we have the internet. Finally, another easy way to do it, and it took me years. I went kicking and screaming and dragging, but you can go to facebook.com and set up a Facebook page with your church. And I'll tell you what, I set up a private page just for the people in our church, and they love it. They shoot back forth, wonderful prayer requests, all sorts of things. I have a precious sister sits back in the back of the church, and while they're taking prayer requests, she's typing them into her iPad. And then once they're all done, she hits send and it's posted. And those that couldn't make it to church for some reason, or even those that forget the prayer requests from week to week or through the week, they have a point of reference. And now we have a prayer list for our church. Facebook is full of garbage. Let's fill it with good also. Another one that I want to talk about. Now, this is, remember, I'm talking about advertising. I'm talking about if people aren't visiting, there may be something wrong with what they see outside of the church. And that brings me to the next one. What does your outside of your church look like? If I drive by, what's going to happen? I remember a time a reporter lady wanted, she got a hold of my wife. Somehow they got a hold of each other. I don't remember the full story, but a reporter lady was doing an article on how people keep children quiet in small churches. She showed up. We knew she was, somebody came in and they saw her car in the back parking lot, but she never walked in the doors. I have a security camera and sometimes I could see the back parking lot, or somebody will come in or we'll pull up and there's somebody sitting out there and they never walk in. Now, sometimes it's just nerves, but sometimes it's because of what they see. One of the hardest things for us small churches to do is to get visitors in the door. If nobody's coming in the door of your small church, you need to ask yourself, do they even know you exist? And if they do, what do they know about you? The second question to ask yourself, if the church isn't growing in a good way, and again, I'm not trying to add numbers, but if you're not affecting people, are the new people, are the ones that actually do visit, are they only there for short term or do they stay for a long time? If people are coming and not staying, then look around and listen to what they may be seeing. What are the people seeing and hearing? Does the church relate to them visually? Have you ever walked into somebody's house and it stank or it looked dirty so you didn't want to stay there? What does it look like when they come into your church? Feel. What do they sense or feel from the people in the church? Do they feel like they're not welcome? You walk into our church, unfortunately, you walk in from the parking lot, you come up the stairs and you walk right in and everybody is staring at you. I can't change that much. But when I'm up in front, I could do all I can to make them feel comfortable. And not, now listen, the word of God can make them feel uncomfortable. But we shouldn't have them feel uncomfortable by our glares and stares. How do they feel? Are you a warm, embracing church? Do you accept new people? I know people need to grow and I know people need to change, but do you accept them when they come in as they are? Come as you are and go as God wants you to be. How about your message that you're sharing, preachers? I mean, the visual and the feel, that's kind of on the church as a whole. But how about the message that you're sharing? Now, I'm not saying every message should make them feel comfortable. But the way you share it, does it connect with the people? Does it minister to the people? People are only coming in and staying for short term. It may be our fault. Now, listen, the message might have been right on and the people might have dealt good and the Holy Ghost or God convicted their hearts and ministered to their hearts. And they may reject. There's not much we can do about that. Majority of the people that came to hear Jesus ended up rejecting him, remember? So we need to make sure, though, that we give them every opportunity to accept. And then if they reject, that's not on us, that's on them. But I sure don't want to stand before God in heaven and have God say, look, I gave you this beautiful building and you made a pigsty out of it. Finally, the people that do stay, I've had those people stay long term. And they were faithful to church and they were sweet as punch to me, but they never received Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. I'll be honest, there's no point in filling the pews with people that don't know the Lord. I wrote it this way. I said, there is no reason to have a church full of people that do not personally know Jesus. But so when they come, we want them to come. We want them to be a part. That means we need to be out ministering. If we were in the corporate world, we'd call it advertising, but we need to get our name out there. If your church is preaching truth and your church is giving something as wonderful and as great as a walk with God, don't you think people need to hear it? So go out and tell people about your church. Advertise it. Outreach. Minister to them. Then if they're only coming in for a short term, stop, look, listen around, pay attention. What do new people see when they walk into your church? What do they hear when they walk into your church? Finally, if they're not accepting, if they're not receiving the message of Christ, again, there is no reason to have a church full of people that do not personally know Jesus, or at least that are not on the track or process of knowing Jesus. We want them to know him. But I understand that Christ is spiritually received. The only advice I have is to mingle this issue with prayer and fasting. Maybe you're growing your church, but people aren't truly receiving Jesus Christ. Maybe they're receiving a community. Maybe they're receiving a gathering, but not receiving Jesus Christ. Then we need to pray and maybe even fast for that answer and for them. There's a darkness on this world, but God can break through that darkness. And people are coming to know the Lord. So pray. Pray, pray, pray for those coming through those doors. And especially for the long term. For the long term members. Listen, this is episode 3. Where is the disconnect? And unfortunately, we have it. And we haven't been able to find it and to restore it. I hope that these podcasts, I hope that these subject matters help. Listen, if you're finding us online, I'm not real technically savvy yet. And I don't know how to track. I don't know to track how many podcasts are being downloaded. I can kind of track how many visitors are to our website. I'd love to know that you're out there. I'd love to be a little bit encouraged. I'd love to be to know that this is a good idea and it's heading in the right direction. But more than anything, I'd love to have ideas. I know what I struggled with, but small church pastors, small church members out there, what have you struggled through and what would you like to hear and what would you like help with? Email us at smallchurchmentor@gmail.com, smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. Find us online at smallchurchmentor.com or find us on Facebook under Small Church Mentor. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to serve you, and I'd love to help in any way I can. Find the disconnect. If they're not coming in, why haven't they heard about you yet? Or what do they see or what do they know about you? If they are coming in, only taking a short-term look, what are they seeing? Look through their eyes. Now, if the message is convicting them and it's too heavy for them and they don't want to stay, then I wouldn't advise to change a thing. But if it isn't the message driving them away, if it's something else, let's see if we can fix that. And finally, if they're not receiving Christ, then there's something spiritual. There's a spiritual disconnect in our local assembly. And I've had them. Sometimes it's been my fault, and sometimes it's been on their shoulders. But I want to be mindful of it, and I want God to lead me in it. I hope this helps you. I'm happy to serve you. My name is Gary Fuhrer, and anytime you need, give me a holler. Thank you.